Our psalm reading this morning comes from Psalm 37, verses 1 through 9. Hear the word of the Lord. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, as we now turn to your word, we pray that you will empower us by your Spirit to hear the word that you would have us hear. Lord, we pray that you will enlighten our hearts and our minds. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Our New Testament reading comes from Paul's letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. This is the word of the Lord. If you didn't check your calendars thoroughly this morning, you might have missed the fact that this is World Communion Sunday. Christians all over the world are gathering to celebrate the Lord's Supper, and this is one of the most distinctive expressions of our faith in a risen Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. As I read our scripture passage for this morning, as Paul is writing to his young protege, Timothy, I could hear Paul's pleading for Timothy to recognize the faith that has been handed down from generation to generation from his grandmother and his mother. It is a faith that Paul has helped to build up in Timothy as he has shown his young friend how to live a life of service to God. And as Paul is nearing the end of his life, he knows that Timothy will need encouragement to continue serving the church in Ephesus, as there will be many challenges to his faith down the road. At the time of this writing, Paul is in a dungeon in Rome. He has been incarcerated in prison for the last time in his life, and he is writing this last letter of his life. 2 Timothy is, in many ways, Paul's last will and testament, his final words, before he will be executed by the Roman authorities. He is passing the torch of his ministry to Timothy. One that he hopes will become as passionate in his faith as Paul. Paul has been Timothy's mentor for several years. And it may well be that for the cause of Christ, Timothy too could be imprisoned and his life taken away. The Romans have now unleashed persecution against Christians whom they have blamed for the burning of Rome, although Nero himself was responsible. The basic structure of this letter is an exhortation to Timothy to be strong and to do his spiritual duty no matter what comes against him. Paul reminds Timothy that he knows his faith is genuine, but he exhorts him to never give in to that temptation to deny Christ for his own safety. He says, "So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace." In these verses, Paul speaks to the matter of not being ashamed of our faith. It is a call for Timothy to be courageous, to be bold, to have an uncompromising, unflinching commitment to proclaim Jesus Christ, no matter what it costs. And now let's face it, this is a very practical word for us here this morning. I am sure that every one of us, myself included, has had occasions in our lives when we have found it inconvenient or uncomfortable to acknowledge our faith. Perhaps we were afraid of being embarrassed. Perhaps we were afraid of being ridiculed or rejected. Or perhaps we were afraid that we couldn't adequately defend our faith if challenged by a non-believer. There have been times in my life when I remained silent, when I should have said plenty. But we are not alone. Remember Matthew 26, when our Lord Jesus was being arrested before his crucifixion. Peter had hung around the courtyard after the rest of the disciples had already fled. They had all been afraid to be identified with Jesus. But Peter at least hung around at a distance until he too found it was best for his personal safety to deny Jesus. Yes, three times he denied knowing Jesus, and then you remember the rooster crowed just as Jesus had told Peter it would happen. Peter never thought it possible that he would deny Jesus. But when his own well-being was on the line, he denied him three times. the rooster crowed, and Scripture tells us that Peter went out and wept bitterly. But it's wonderful to look at the story of Peter because we learn that even Peter was redeemable. In the 21st chapter of John, do you remember that after his resurrection, Jesus met Peter on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and three times Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And three times Peter replied, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus was restoring Peter to his rightful place as the leader of his church, but he needed to get him beyond the guilt he felt for denying the Lord. After being restored, Peter again was ready to follow Jesus' instruction to feed my sheep. And in the book of Acts, we see Peter on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, standing up with boldness and courage in an unflinching spirit. He preached Christ and him crucified, and he preached the resurrection, and he preached the judgment of God. Jesus calls each of us to a personal relationship with him that gives us the courage to acknowledge him regardless of the earthly consequences. In Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus himself says, "Whoever publicly acknowledges me, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever publicly disowns me, I will disown before my Father in heaven." Well, clearly in our passage this morning from 2 Timothy, Paul understood this teaching all too well. He was imprisoned for publicly proclaiming his faith in Jesus Christ, and he was now passing the torch to young Timothy. He says, "What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." Well, this passage of Scripture from 2 Timothy was especially poignant to me today. As you know, I just returned on Wednesday evening from Colorado, where I visited family and friends. 10 days ago, as I was going to visit friends in Littleton, Colorado, my route took me past Columbine High School. I have driven past there many times in the 20 years since that horrible day when evil struck that community. I still remember where I was standing when I heard the news of gunmen killing students inside a once tranquil high school. I didn't want to believe what I was hearing, that 12 students and a teacher had been brutally murdered for no reason other than pure evil in the hearts of two fellow students who came to kill as many as time would allow. 10 days ago, as I was passing the school, I had the desire to go to the Memorial Park just over a grassy hill from the school. I had the desire to spend some time in prayerful remembrance of those who died. I had been there several times before, but it was time for me to go and remember yet again. The memorial is a beautiful, peaceful place of sandstone and granite and waterfalls. While I was there, at least 4 families came with parents bringing their children. Yes, after 20 years, people still come. In a large half circle, a specially constructed granite table has memories inscribed in the stone, memories that were selected for posterity by the families of those students and the teacher who were killed. And as I read each one, the tears and the sadness were all too real. In light of today's scripture, and as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper, I want to share with you two of the inscriptions from the Columbine Memorial. Two young women, Cassie Bernal and Rachel Scott, were killed when they refused to deny their faith. Before I read the inscriptions, remember these words of Paul to Timothy. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And now, here are the brief and heartfelt words that were chosen by the families of Cassie Bernal and Rachel Scott as remembrances of their lives that were grounded in a deep faith in Jesus Christ and in his life, death, and resurrection. These are the words the family chose for Cassie Renee Bernal. Our Cassie had an engaging laugh, beautiful long blonde hair, clear blue eyes, and a big warm smile that she generously shared. Her loves were music, snowboarding with her brother Chris, photography, travel, and youth group. Seeking to be an obstetrician, she dreamed of bringing new life into this world. Cassie truly longed to know what heaven would be like, and she strived to know the Lord whom she would meet there. Her heart's desire was just to live for Christ. Weeks before her death, she expressed her anxiousness to see heaven, stating that she could hardly wait to get there. When asked how we would ever live without her, Cassie simply replied, "Wouldn't you be happy for me? You know I'd be in a better place." Cassie lost her life because of her belief in God. Although her dreams of ushering in new life tragically ended, her stand continues to encourage many to seek new life through Christ. We miss her immensely, but know she's in that better place. And then it said simply, Philippians 3:10-11. If you look in the scriptures, those two verses say, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. And the words that her family chose for Rachel Joy Scott are these. Her middle name described her. She was a joy. Her beauty reflected her kindness and compassion. A month before her death, she wrote, I have this theory that if one person can go out of their way to show compassion, then it will start a chain reaction of the same. People will never know how far a little kindness can go. Rachel had a sense of destiny and purpose. She also had a premonition her life would be short. Just passing by, just coming through, not staying long. I always knew this home I have will never last. The day she died, she told a teacher, I'm going to have an impact on the world. In her diary, she wrote, I won't be labeled as average. Her faith in God was expressed in a prayer she wrote. I want to serve you. I want to be used by you to help others. Her final words were testimony to her life. When asked if she believed in God, she replied, "You know I do." Cassie and Rachel had what I call an innocent faith. It was not based on a long life of trials and tribulations, and it was not tested over many years. It was based on a personal relationship that each one had with their Lord Jesus Christ, and they accepted it with the innocence of youth. But when their faith faced the greatest test, when they were face to face with their executioners, they were not ashamed and they were not timid. As we know, their lives will stand forever in the hearts of those who witnessed their faith. So, friends, as we now come to the Lord's table, and as we remember his death on a cross for each one of us, let us reflect on our own faith. Are we timid or are we bold? Let us be intentional as we hear the words of Jesus Christ himself. Do this in remembrance of me. Through the waters of baptism, we are born into Christ's family. That family is nourished and sustained at this table. Though we are baptized but once, in the Lord's Supper, we reaffirm our commitment to Christ, and God renews us with grace. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast he has prepared. Let us now give thanks. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Almighty Father, creator of all things and source of every blessing, by your power and wisdom you brought the universe into being and created us in your image. You called us to love and serve you. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels and with all the faithful of every time and place. We join in giving you praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of glory, you are holy, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, whom you sent out of love for the world, to be our Savior. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ was born as one of us. By his death, Christ delivered us from our sins, reconciling us to you.
risen from the tomb, he gives us new and abundant life so that we live in him and declare, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Almighty God, we come humbly before your throne. All glory is yours now and forevermore. Amen. On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. After giving thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim Christ's death until he comes again." Let us pray. Almighty God, we do bow humbly before you, thanking you for your grace. We thank you for the gift of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came for the forgiveness of sins. And Lord, we pray now that you will pour out by your Holy Spirit upon these gifts of the bread and the cup, your love, your compassion, and your desire for us to always be faithful. Lord, we pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, this is the table of the Lord. All who believe are welcome at this table. This morning we will be serving it by distribution. Remain seated and our elders will serve you in the pews. And if there is anyone who desires gluten-free, I will come down and be available for that as well. This is the table of the Lord. All who believe are welcome.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we do bow humbly before you, so grateful for your gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Lord, we pray that you will inspire us to always be faithful, to always be bold in our faith, to never be ashamed. And Lord, let us remember those who have gone before us, whose faith has been an inspiration in our lives and will continue to be an inspiration for eternity. Lord, this morning we pray for those who are in need of your care and your healing. We do lift up to you Donna Slusher as she continues to heal from her terrible car accident. We pray that her healing will be swift and complete. And Lord, we lift up to you the family of Carol Mills as they grieve her passing. We pray for your comfort. And Lord, we pray for Sarah and her family as she now nears the end of her life. We just pray for your comfort and peace, that they will know that indeed she is ready to go home. So Lord, we thank you for all of the ways that you bless us. We thank you for the beauty of your creation. We thank you for friends and friendships. We thank you for fellowship. And we thank you for this congregation who comes together in times of need and a family of faith. So Lord, we lift all of this to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.